You say praise the Lord this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I just trust the Lord he'll help me and I won't get into one of my coughing fits. It seems like I cannot shake this thing. And it's cold or something, I don't know. But, amen. Let's just bow our heads in prayer before we go to scripture. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you humbly, Lord, asking, Lord, for your guidance through your word, that it may be able to touch the people, Lord, and Lord, be a help to them. I ask, God, that you would help me, Lord, to so yield to you and be sensitive to you, to the move of your Holy Spirit in our midst. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Could you turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 14? Now I want to start reading at verse 6. John chapter 14. What I'd like to speak on today is the ministry of Christ in you. The ministry of Christ in you is what I'd like to speak on today. Verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, shew us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, shewest the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I want to read verse 25. Paul writing here says, Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would have known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Now, speaking of the ministry of Christ in you, I'm not necessarily talking about preaching, getting up and speaking to people. That's not the ministry that I'm talking about. There is a ministry of Christ, or Christ living out through each and every one of us. When you are sealed by the Holy Ghost, that is the very life of Christ in you. We sing a song to be like Jesus. And sometimes I wonder, do we really get the whole part of that, what that means? But our life will be the only Bible some people read. You're a walking Bible, your life. You may be the only time they'll get to see Christ to be through your life. And also it may be your life that inspires someone else. The life of God in you, Paul said, it worketh in me mightily. Of course, we could look at this scripture I just read and say, well, you know, Paul was an apostle. Paul was preaching. He preached the gospel. That's, you know, not my calling. But that's not what we're talking about. The ministry or the work of God can work in you mightily. When he said, he that believeth on me, the works I do shall he do also. He didn't say, whatever preacher believeth on me, the works that I do will he do also. God don't just answer the prayer of the preacher. God answers the prayer. Let's just go back to John 14. There's a couple more verses after that we can catch. All right, we read down to verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now look at verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father might be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That wasn't a statement just made to preachers. This is the ministry of Christ through you. Whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it. That the Father might be glorified in the Son. We look at when they were in the upper room. We realize that this was Christ's life coming and dividing itself amongst the disciples that were gathered there. When they walked out of there, each one of them had the life of Christ in them. Each one of them had received the Holy Ghost. Peter and John, very quickly after that, very soon after that, I mean, went and they saw a man, crippled man, laying by the gate called Beautiful. And they looked at him and they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Stand up, take up your bed and walk. What did they have? What was it that they had that they said they were giving? They had the very life of Christ living in them. The same life that was in the person of Jesus Christ was in them. Such as I have. That's what they had. Such as I have, give I thee. That was the ministry of Christ through the believers. They didn't set up a box and get up and they weren't starting to preach. You see, the reason I'm saying that, because I want you to know that what I'm talking about this morning is for each and every one of you. Each and every one of you, it's Christ's life living out through you. Your testimony, your life, what you do, what you say, your actions, that is Christ being displayed. The prophet said, we're like a billboard. We're an advertisement for Christ. And he said, our life ought to be lived where we make salvation attractive to people. It's exactly right. Our life should be lived where we make salvation attractive to people. To where they would want what you've got. I think about Brother Jack Cole
and listening to his testimony, he so lived the life of Christ before his parents who weren't even going to church. And he would invite them out to the meetings. This is before, brother, this is when he was young, before he ever started preaching. He would invite his parents out to the meetings and they wouldn't come. But there was one meeting that was taking place and he had invited them and they came, but he didn't know they were there. And toward the end of that service, his mother made her way up to the altar. And what she told the preacher is, I want what Jack's got. She had so saw the life of Christ lived through her son that she said, I want what he's got. Hallelujah. That's how our life should be, that others seeing us could say, I want what they've got. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What we need is the life of the Holy Ghost displayed in the church. The message of the token, Brother Adam says, he says, now the Holy Ghost is our token from God. He said, the Holy Ghost is the life that was in the person of Jesus Christ that is displayed in you. It's the life of Jesus Christ displayed in you. Now, there's another message where Brother Branham identified Christ of all ages. He's talking about how they develop a picture. And when a photo is taken, of course, you know, things have changed now. We've got all this digital age and all that. But if some of y'all can remember back when cameras actually had film in them. And you had to take the film. It wasn't too many years ago. They had a drop box at Walmart where you'd drop in your film. And you'd go back in there, you know, maybe several days later or the next week and pick up your pictures. Now, there ain't a whole lot of developing of pictures. People want to show you something, they usually pull out their phone and go through their pictures, you know. But when you take a picture there was film in the camera, why, when you pull that film out, it was what they called a negative. And the light and the dark look opposite from what it's going to look when the picture's developed. And so when they develop it, there's a light that they shine on that to develop it. And in those rooms, there's a special kind of light they have, and then they put it in some chemicals, you know, and those have a reaction, and then they can, from that, they can actually bring out and show you your photo. But to develop it, they go in what's called a dark room. And that's where they develop it. And you know, when a person dies, what has happened? They just, their body, now not their soul, but their bodies went into a dark room. Because the one you buried, that wasn't in this flesh, it's not in the image of Christ. Why? Because this flesh ages. This flesh can die. This flesh gets sick. But it wasn't so at the beginning. In the beginning, it didn't age. It didn't feel sickness. Friends, I'll tell you, I'm ready to go back. I want to go back to the eighth day. The eighth day takes us back to the beginning all over again. That's where I want to go. Hallelujah. I want to go back to where this body has changed and it becomes in the very image of God the way it was in the beginning. But in our life, there is also something that must happen in our life for the image of Christ to be developed through us. And that's death also. We've got to die to ourselves. We got to die to all. Well, I need this. Well, they done that. Well, I think so and so ought to apologize to me about this. You got to die to yourself. Die to self once. He promised to take care of our needs. He promised to take care of our needs. Every once in a while, we're blessed and we get something that we want. But I don't want anything that's going to be a hindrance to my walk with Jesus. When I went to buy a car, and I was looking at buying a sports car, and I prayed and I said, Lord, if any way this is going to be a hindrance in my walk, then I don't want it. I'd always, when I was a teenager, always wanted a sports car. Mom and Dad couldn't afford to help me get one. And sure in the world, we couldn't pay for the insurance. But the insurance ain't so high on me now. And I could afford to get one. That's why you see so many old men riding around in them. They couldn't afford it when they was young. Jesus, friends, we look at his life and we all know he was our example. He is our example. We sing that song, I want to walk like Jesus walked. I want to talk like Jesus talked. I want to be like Jesus. Hallelujah. He's our example. Yes, sir. You know, there was back in the 80s, I believe, when it came out, it ain't never went away. People have kind of reworded it here or there or whatever, but I remember when it came out back in the 80s, is WWJD, is that what it was? What would Jesus do? And you could see that thing was on, people wore armbands and wore different things, shirts and necklaces, all this stuff that have that on there. You see bumper stickers on the back of people's cars. Anybody remember this? But looking at it in the right way, not in just making light of it, but what we ought to ask ourselves when we're faced with something is, well, how would Jesus handle this? How would he do it? How would he handle it? And you know, where many of us fail is in our reactions, our reaction to things. I've learned that if you know that you're an individual, like I know what I know who I am. I know how I am. And I have a tendency to react to everything in the extremes. And I know that. So what I've made a practice of, when it's time to react, if I know I'm going to act in a restraint or overreact, well, then I just stop and don't react at all. Take time to gather myself together, ask how I should do this or how I should be reacting to it. Maybe digest it a little bit. Many times with our children, we want to react right off the bat. And I can tell you that anytime you do that, it'll be yelling and screaming and mad, upset, and all this kind of stuff. When it comes to teenagers, you better take a step back, because it's going to be every day that something's going to be presented. You know, I got a family full of teenagers. Every day, there's something. Every day, it's like they draw lots and take turns. And this ain't the first teenagers I've raised. The first four we had, there was a time every one of them, all four of them was teenagers all at one time. When you have them close together, you ought to think about that. I mean, it's good to have them close enough together when they're little to play together, but when you got them that close, when they all start hitting teens, they're all going to hit them at the same time. And then you just have a house full of teenagers. You know, you might have one or two or something you say, well, I didn't really have much trouble out of them, but you'll have another one that made up for it. Hey, I was a teenager myself. I was a teenager all by myself. There wasn't no other teenagers in the house, but I made up for about four or five. My dad would say, man, it is always something with you. And I went to church, but I was ornery. I was. I knew they was gossiping biddies, I called them back then in the church, that they was always looking for something to go tell. And for some reason, because they didn't care for my daddy, they were always looking for something to go tell on me. So there was times they was up and telling stuff on me. They'd tell stuff they heard. They wasn't even there. They heard somebody else come and told them. Somebody else called them on the phone. Next thing you know, dad would be on me. I tell you what, I was getting tired of that. So I thought I'd just set them up. I thought, well, I'll just, I got out, I was in a car, had a 4-speed shift on the floor. I dressed up, had some dress shoes on, had that leather sole on the bottom. And my foot slipped on that clutch, that leather sole. It made my tires throw up a little bit of gravel. And I looked over like that, and there stood them two biddies. Y'all forgive me. So you shouldn't call nobody that. I'm sorry, they was the biggest gossipers in the church. And when I looked over and saw them, and I had my best friend with me, brother, he was as honored as I was, brother Ray Erickson's oldest boy, Eshot, he was with me in the car. And I looked over and saw them, he looked over and saw, I looked at him, and boy, I tell you what, I popped that clutch, screeched out on the road, and it's about to... I'd say it's probably maybe 50 yards or 50 feet, I guess it would be, something like that. It was a good distance from their entrance of that parking lot down to the stop sign, and I laid rubber the whole way. When I got down there and stopped that stop sign, Eshai looked at me and he said, "What in the world are you doing?" I said, "I'm going to give them something to talk about now." And I said, this time they won't have to lie. They won't have to make nothing up. And it won't be hearsay. They'll be able to say, we saw it. You know, there's people come to my dad, some deacons. I said, you need to throw him out of your house. Yeah. Robert said, throw him out of your house. I was a minor. I was 17 years old. You don't throw a minor out of your house. You're responsible. You say, why are you saying this? Because why didn't they know that? They were so busy bodying around, they couldn't even think right, obviously. Said, throw him out of your house. My dad said, I ain't going to do it for you or nobody else. He said, long as he's in my house, he said, he's under me here, and he says, and he's going to hear about Jesus, and he's going to see the life of Christ here. He said, if I throw him out there, he won't see it at all, maybe. I didn't find out about that happening until sometime later after I was grown. You know, an adult, and then Dad told me about that. I guess I called him, there were several times that the deacons called him in over me. You know, I was terrible as a teenager. I was. That's just some of the easy good, that's some of the not so bad things. So I said that, let the teenagers know I'm not throwing off on you. I say some of these things now, and I don't want teenagers to take it wrong. I'm not talking about a glory thing. I shouldn't have done those things. My dad was constantly having to speak up for me because of it. They questioned his ministry or his preaching because of me. Mom would tell me, you're a reflection of your daddy. And I said, I'm tired of being his reflection. You know, people would come up to me and go, I say, are you Brother Browning's son? I'd say, no, I'm Jerry. I got a name, and it's not Brother Browning's son. Now, I was just like that, you know. And that sometimes teenagers get that way. They're looking for who they are, looking for identification. And I'll tell you what, I've told you this so you can see I've been on both sides of this thing. And I got grown when I was able to see just why my mom and dad sometimes were ready to pull their hair out over me. Because now I've been on the other side and ain't got no hair hardly left. I'm thankful that my mama used to always tell me when I'd come in after doing something, she'd find out about it. One time I got mad at her. I don't know. I loved driving cars and stuff. And I loved to lay rubber. You know, that's one of the silliest, stupidest things. Because then you got to buy tires. But it seems so cool when you're young, you know. You ain't thinking about how much them tires cost or buying the next ones or whatever. That's the furthest thing from your mind. And I get mad at my mom, and I went out and drove my car down the barn lane, which come out on the road further down from the house. When I got out on that road, I laid rubber all the way past the house just to let my mom know I was mad. I come back, I was going to work. I come back home, pulled in, there she was in the kitchen waiting on me. And I thought, my goodness, why don't you go to bed? But she's waiting on me. When I walked in, she looked at me and she said, one of these days, you're going to have one just like you. And she said, then you'll know what you put us through. You'll know what it's like. I told my wife about that. I said, Mom put a curse on me. That's what I said. Mina, she grew up, she's a good child. You know, we married young. She didn't hardly have a chance to get mean or anything. You know, she's a good child. And she said, well, I never done none of them things. Why do I got to suffer with it? I said, because you said at the altar, for better or for worse. But I'm thankful the Lord has had mercy on me. I ain't had one that's actually ever lived up to all the honoriness I did, and I'm glad, because I wouldn't want to see him do all that stuff. I look back, and I think how dumb I was. You know, when you're in high school, you're always thinking about how to have other people, how other people view you. And, you know, you want to be maybe among the cool kids or the popular kids or however y'all say it these days. and you make your efforts and all that. I can't remember very many names of the people I was in high school with. You say, well, that's because you're over 50 years old. You know, you're losing your memory. No. If you'd asked me this when I was about 25, I'd tell you, no, I can only remember some of their names. So what's my point? They didn't have very much to do in my life in the end. High school lasts 4 years and then it's over. And I'll tell you what, I don't know how it affects maybe some people when they got ready to graduate, they was happy and ready to get out of there. Man, that was my world. High school was my world. That's where I could, you know, that was my territory. The last day, it about made me sick. I thought, my goodness gracious, my world's coming to an end. Now I got to face a whole different world. I was the last one to leave the building. Teachers had to run me out of there. They let the seniors out early. I went down and hung out with the juniors. I wouldn't leave. I didn't want to leave. I knew it was going to be a whole different world I had to face. And all the stuff I had done or whatever I accomplished in high school, it was going to be in the past. I don't really say hindsight's 20/20. I didn't realize all that until it come time to graduate. Then I realized, man, everything I done now, it's only going to be a memory. It ain't going to have a thing to do with what I got to do now. Wasn't as important as I thought it was. You know, you go back to high school. I don't know if any of y'all ever went back to your high school reunion. You go back to your high school reunion, you know what you find many times? The most popular ones didn't end up turning out so great. They bloomed in high school and wilted thereafter. They reached their peak in high school. You don't want to reach your peak in high school. These things I'm telling you, I've told my kids over and over again. You know, I was talking about us living in these bodies that they're not the, you know, they get sick, they grow old. And as we get old, and I know I'm not the oldest one in here, but I can tell you, I ain't no young man no more. I was a young man when I came here to pastor this church. I'm not a young man anymore. I got aches and pains and things I feel. I can't get up out of the bed without my knee hurting me when I first stand up. You know, and I'm like, what in the world is wrong with you? You know, sometimes you want to go one way and it seems like your legs are going a different way and you think, what in the world ain't they obeying me? You know, and or just, and you know what it is? Just this old house of clay. It's starting to break down. It's starting to break down. It's just a house of clay. It gets worse. You know, Brother Horner goes through something. I'm used to hearing him say, I'm too old for this. But you know, one day, this house of clay, it's breaking down. One day, it's going to bust wide open. Maybe it'll come. I don't know. I was talking to Brother Jim the other day, and he was talking. He says, if he has to go by the way of the grave, well, then that be the will of God that he'll do that. He said, but he'd like to be alive to see it all happening. And I said, I want you to be too. But I said, I want to be among those alive and remain. Amen. Not that I'm worried about death. I ain't worried over death. But I'd just like to see it from this side. Yes, and I hear a testimony from somebody else that's all from the other side, I want to see it from this side. I got some family and friends I'm longing to see. I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to that. If I'd go by the way of the grave, they wouldn't be putting me in that ground. They'd be putting this old body of clay, this old house of clay, they'd put it down there in the ground, but it wouldn't be me. I ain't going down there 6 foot under. My soul's going to leave that old house of clay. It'll rise on up yonder where it'll receive a theophany body. Yes, sir. Identify among them that live and remain. Well, one day this house of clay is breaking down. One day it's going to need to be restructured. It's going to need to be remodeled. Amen. And the thing I always wondered when I was younger, I started preaching, I wondered how would that change happen? And I'll tell you what I believe. I believe what I found in the scripture, the same way that God changed the molecular structure of the serpent and turned him from one that stood upright to one that crawled on his belly. Just changed the molecule structure. Well, the prophet said, cancer, said it's a cell from your body that went bad. He said it was a cell that backslid. And I look at that and think, well, the only thing that has to happen right now, the molecules that make up my body, something's wrong with them. Yes, and that's why I'm getting old. That's why I'm breaking down. Something's wrong with them. The cells aren't reproducing themselves the way they should be. But one day, I believe that molecular structure of our bodies will change. Hallelujah. Won't be old man or woman no more. It'll go back to the very image, the picture that God took of you. The prophet said, when you were at your best, God took a picture. And he said, that's what he sees you as, and that's what you'll go back to. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, while we're living in this old house of clay, we can let the Holy Spirit, the life of Christ, be displayed through us. Amen. You realize God doesn't have no other way to preach his word except through these houses of clay. John said, how you try the spirits and know the spirit of God and the spirit of the Antichrist, he said, is he that believeth that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. They ain't talking about the person of Jesus Christ the way he was 2,000 years ago. It's talking about his life in you and I. The only way Jesus can live today to be displayed and shown to others is through you. Through these old houses of clay. Whew. You know, we look and we think, well, maybe you think sometimes, well, I ain't much of a person with words. And I can't explain these things. I believe them, but I can't put them right into words to explain them real good. That don't matter. Do you realize that your life, what an inspiration it can be to others? As we get older, our lives should be an inspiration to the young ones coming up. You realize your life can inspire some young man and he or a young boy and he grew up and preached the gospel. Because you inspired him. Maybe you musicians play. I'm not the best guitar player there is. My son, he really can play the guitar, Nate. I just kind of strum on it a bit and try to keep some rhythm and make some noise with it. But when I was a little boy, first time, first time I saw Brother Jackie Benton and him and his wife come to visit the church where we were going. And they got up and sang. And that so inspired me. You know, and him playing that guitar and them singing, that so inspired me, I said, I want to do that. And so I learned how to play the guitar, and Mom helped me with the singing and that, and that's what I did. I sang. Why? Because I'd been inspired. Every time I see Brother Jackie or Brother Jackie comes here, I think about how he inspired my life. One time I was in a camp meeting and Brother John LaFontaine was preaching, and I was at that ornery teenager age that I told you about earlier, and I knew I wasn't living right for God. And you know, things gets in your mind sometimes, not only when you're young, but it seems to really hit, especially when you're young. The devil always trying to tell you, you ain't got a chance, you went too far. You done too much. Brother John got up and he preached a message on Samson. I remember it to this day. He preached a message on Samson. He said, one more time. Samson, after he had been defeated, after he was chained up to that old millstone, and they brought him up to make sport of him. And he got up there and got between the pillars and said, one more time, Lord. Come on me one more time. And I never forgot that message. That thing stayed with me. And when the Lord really got to dealing with me about surrender my life to him, right there was the devil telling me I couldn't. I'd done too much. I'd been too bad. He didn't want me. And then I remember that message one more time. Hallelujah. There was a couple I knew. Pardon me. There was a couple I knew that I was a teenager back then too. I was probably about 15 maybe at that time. And this couple, they had a big old house. Their last names was Baggett. They had a big old house. I mean, I don't know how many floors that house had. It was a huge house. And they called it Baggett Hotel. And I tell you what, friends, anybody, any believer traveling through needed a place to stay, they say, come on up, stay at Baggett Hotel. And I watched the hospitality of this couple. They wasn't preachers, nothing like that. They were just a brother and sister. And I watched, and the way they presented their hospitality, it had effect on me. And I said, I want to be able to be like that. I want to be able to extend hospitality to people. I want to be able to have compassion. The ministry of Christ in you. Hallelujah. There may be things that you've already done, and I'm sure there's going to be opportunities in the future that your life will be an inspiration to somebody else. And this is the thing, you might not even know it. I remember, I can't remember the name, but there was some ball player. I can't remember who it was now, right off. But anyway, I think it was some baseball player. And he said, I don't want to, they asked him about some of the stuff he was doing, said, don't you realize you're a role model to other young people? He said, I don't want to be a role model. I remember hearing that news. I can't remember who it was now. But I heard that and I thought, well, buddy, you ain't got a choice. You don't get to choose to not be a role model. You don't get to choose that your life will not be an inspiration to somebody. I've seen individuals, they drink because that was what somebody was inspired to them by somebody else. They live wrong and do wrong things because they were inspired by somebody who did those things. That's true. You can't choose whether you inspire somebody, but you can choose what you inspire them with. You can't choose whether you're going to be a role model or not, but you can choose what kind you're going to be. Huh? I want to be the right inspiration. Hallelujah. Oh, I tell you what. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something if one of your family or somebody come up and said, you know, I want what Wayne's got. Huh? I want what he's got. What a compliment in your life. Huh? I want what Jimmy's God. That they would see that soul living your life, they'd say, like I said, Jack Cole's mama said about him, I want what Jack's got. She knew he had something. She didn't know quite what it was, but she knew it had made a change in him, and she had saw it live before. She didn't even know exactly what it was, but whatever it was good, and she wanted it. I want what he's got. She didn't want just come up and say, I want to be a Christian. There's a lot of people come say, I want to be a Christian, you know, but then they go out and they don't live a Christian life. There's a lot of people come because they're afraid of going to hell. And they try to buy their way out of it. They try to join, become a member to get out of it. But when they see a life that's lived, they see something that's real. I'll tell you what, this area right here is burnt up with people that said they believe the message but never lived a real life.
Oh, man, here we go.
Well, my daddy, you know, he believed Brother Branham. That don't make a bit of difference. And if your daddy did believe Brother Branham, he should have lived what Brother Branham preached. Amen. If he didn't live what he preached, then he didn't believe him. You don't get to lay claims on something that you ain't part of. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Hallelujah. They say, I love Brother Branham. Well, if you did, you'd follow what he said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The ministry of Christ in you. I was standing at the island this morning. I'd got done eating. And I was standing at the island drinking a Coke there beside Mina. And we was talking and I told her, I said, you know, a lot of times by this time I at least got a scripture or something. A thought, and I said, I ain't got a thought one. It was just this morning, I said, I ain't got a thought one. I don't got a scripture, I don't got nothing. And I was standing there, And while I was telling her that, I looked up and there on top of our thing where she puts the mail in there, there was a card that had been sent to me from a young man up there in Ohio from my brother's church. And he sent this card to me. And that card had been sitting there a good 2 months. You know, but I looked at it, and this time when I looked at it, something struck me. And this is what it said on the front. It said, "The ministry of Christ in you. He is seen in the love you express through your heart, the compassion revealed through your spirit, the kindness displayed through your actions, the blessings received through your life." Boy, I tell you, that hit me. I'd already read that card before, but boy, it hit me that time. And then I opened it up and I read what the young man had wrote in there to me. And I tell you what, it humbles you, brother. Says it'll humble you when you see somebody talks about that, what you've done, what they saw inspired their life. It humbles you. And I looked back and I thought, Lord, I'm so thankful I inspired a life in the right way. But that's where I got my message from this morning. I'm seasoned enough that I wasn't getting worried. I was just telling me I don't got anything. But I was depending on him. But also when I saw that card and it inspired me like that, why, I went in to go get dressed. And I was thinking, Lord, forgive me. That card sat up there 2 months. It's been sitting up there 2 months right in front of my face. And the inspiration sitting right there staring me in the face. And I didn't catch it till now. Because I always pray and ask the Lord, help me to be sensitive in the spirit where I'll catch your leading, where I won't miss anything. Help me to stay sensitive, Lord. You know, the things going on in the world today is desensitizing people. It's preparing them for something. Desensitizing them to things. Hallelujah. Let's stand, Brother Nate, if you come. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful to have been in your house this morning. We're thankful, dear God, to have heard your word. Lord, I trust this message, Lord, be an inspiration to each and every one of us. Lord, to take another look at our lives. Take a look at how we react. Lord, all this ain't a message trying to bring condemnation or point fingers. It's just something to lift us up. It's something, Lord God, to make us just take a little closer look, Lord, and actually help us, Lord, where we'll be able to reflect you right. Hallelujah. Lord, if they see, Lord, that we react to things ain't no different than how the world reacts to them. Well, what in the world we got that they'd want? Lord, we want to yield ourselves to you, to where you'll be displayed through our lives in a way, dear God, to inspire people. And I believe, Lord, that the people that are here, I believe they've already been reflecting Christ. I believe they've already inspired others by their life. Lord, sometimes we just need to be reminded. Sometimes you just need to bring things back to our remembrance, dear God. It kind of slips a little bit. But Lord, bring back the importance. Sometimes just remind us. We thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
To live, I want to give. to live, I want to give. this time, allow Brother Phil to dismiss us.